Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Jacob. How are you two doing?
Great.
Wait, where's Bree?
She's off this week.
Just say great.
Great?
There we go. How about you, Joe?
We went over this, that she was off this week.
When did we go over this?
Last week. She has her medieval thing.
Her medieval thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What medieval thing?
Oh, Jesus. Do you not remember any of this? Aki, do you remember this?
We did not talk about it on the show. Then.
Yeah,
because I showed up incomplete. Late. We were told that she wasn't going to be there, but not why.
Yeah,
I know why, because once you said medieval thing, I knew exactly what you're talking about, because I actually talk with Bree. But...
Ooh, I talk with Bree.
Okay, so here's the simple thing. Basically, it's a whole bunch of people get together and... more or less LARP, except for you don't have to actually LARP. Like, lots of people go there and have these gigantic wineries and stuff that they build and give away their booze, can't sell it, obviously. And it's just a gigantic party, more or less, but it's also LARPing if you want to do LARPing and things like that.
So, yeah. My
it's a big kinky fun time.
Yeah, my ex-girlfriend actually tried to get me into that because she knew of some local group up in NEPA, and I was just like, no.
I would totally go to a place like that if it weren't for the fact that I can't handle people very well.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Ye Old Gathering of the Juggalos.
Ye Old Gathering of the Juggalos. There's
probably just as much drugs, alcohol, and sex between the two. So yeah. Basically.
Guessing there's less white clown rap at the medieval fest, but
yeah, you'd be surprised.
Maybe.
Yeah, true.
It's probably turned from clown to jester, but otherwise, you never know.
They either way, they don't know how magnets work. So,
oh, that was a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, so she's not here. Actually, she will be here later on in the show. We recorded some reviews previously. I'm debating if we're going to run one of them because I got the price wrong on it.
Oh. So,
yeah, I might chop it and save it. Well, the price wasn't made available prior to launch, and we recorded it prior to launch because that's when she was available.
And you just guessed?
No, I based it off the Steam price.
Oh. See, yeah. Joe, that's what happens when you assume. You make an ass out of you.
And me.
And me.
Yeah. So you're involved in this too, lump nuts.
Well, yeah, no shit. Because I'm here on the fucking show. And we made Aki snort.
Yeah, it's always fun when she snorts on the show.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, man.
That almost brought tears to my eyes. Oh.
Speaking of lump nuts, there's another dingle shit out there who needs to be named. Bobby Kotick is going to remain on as CEO of Activision Blizzard until the end of the year after the Microsoft sale has officially closed. So
that
last
doesn't
Friday,
surprise me. That's standard stuff.
Yeah, it's at the request of Phil Spencer as well. So they're keeping him on. And then hopefully he's going to be made an example of and gotten rid of.
Immediately. Feathered.
I'm wondering if he's staying because Phil Spencer said, or only staying until then because Phil Spencer doesn't want his ass there. That's the real question. Is he sticking around?
I think it's a mix.
Okay. Because like I would believe
they want to keep him around. They want to keep him around to help with the transition, but not any longer than they need him.
Right.
Good. Because that asshole don't need to be there or anywhere for that matter.
Yeah. But hey, the sale closed. Is that exciting? Is this finally out of the fucking news? can we talk about other shit now?
It's not out of the news because not everyone has okayed it still.
Well, the FTC is still having their bitch fit about it, but it happened. So there's nothing they could do about it now.
Exactly.
So they'll fine them or some bullshit. But Microsoft, Activision, Blizzard King is now one whole unit. And it's I don't know. We'll see what happens. I know the big thing everyone keeps talking about is Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero, Guitar Hero. Do you think Microsoft is going to bring back Guitar Hero? And if so, do you see it being an exclusive or will they go multi-plat with it?
I honestly don't think they will.
I can't see how they could afford to make it an exclusive. I really don't. Like they need, because you need to have the instrument. I mean, ideally it's called Guitar Hero, but you know, they're probably going to bring back the mic and the drum set at the very minimum. And it's just, I mean, I could see them throwing like Rock Band a bone and making it compatible with their instruments and stuff like that to help keep it. Because, I mean, Microsoft's not dumb. They know that they have to keep the whole genre alive if they're going to try to bring back Guitar Hero.
I mean, that you would think that, but then Activision brought it back with six buttons and fucked everything up.
That was so. Activision, though. That's Activision.
Yeah, but how hands-off is Microsoft going to be with this stuff?
I mean, they just bought it. They can't, like, they're not going to let Activision just fuck up every single property that it owns all of a sudden.
True. I mean, they already have for the most part, but
I can't imagine that they'll bring it back anytime soon because they have other shit they have to deal with right now.
Yeah, but Phil Spencer also said today that, that they're looking at bringing back older IPs as long as they've got the teams, like, that are
who are passionate about it and want to do
it. Yeah, right. I mean, so everybody's asking for Tao Feng Fist of Lotus to be brought back.
Looking for a Zurich too.
I mean,
I don't know either of those games.
What's wrong with Bloodwake?
It kind of sucked.
I mean, looking back, but at the time it was dope.
Nah.
Driving around on the water, blowing shit up. That's fun.
I wasn't that big of a fan of it. I preferred Crimson Skies myself.
Well, that one's still playable these days in the backward compatibility program, which is another question. Do you think they might reboot the backward compatibility program for a few more titles now that they own Activision's huge back catalog?
No.
For Activision stuff, I think they might make that stuff. I think they might bring back some of that kind of stuff, and I mean, some of it might go on sale again. I mean, Hasbro has already said that they're very interested in bringing back all of the Transformers games that have been previously delisted. So it's like maybe, or if anything, maybe we'll just get remasters of everything. Like,
oh, we're definitely going to get that.
I wouldn't mind some remasters of goods. Like, give us a Prototype remaster. Those games were fun. And if it does well, give us Prototype 3.
Oh, hell yeah.
I never finished Prototype or Prototype 2.
I love those games. You suck.
Yeah, I played them, and I was having fun with what I did. I just, damn show just keeps, you know, piling more games on me.
Keep requesting them, buddy. We got you.
I'll finish Prototype when I'm dead.
Prototype was one of the games that I bought on site. I was at a Game Crazy, and it was back at the time. Yeah, Game Crazy. Remember that store? It was the time where they would allow you to play any game in the store that you wanted because they would have demo stations up, and if the game was on the shelves, they would open it and let you play it. If you liked it, they would even give you a discount, like a 10% open discount. That's awesome. At least they did to me because they liked me. But I saw Prototype and I was like, I heard a lot about this. Let me give it a try. I played it for about 10 minutes and bought it immediately because it was just gory, insane, violent fun. It was over the top action, just hacking and slashing. I thought it was great and I loved it. sequel was great too.
Yeah, I mean, it was Grand Theft, like, it was Grand Theft Auto with superpowers. Like, easiest way to put it.
It's cool as shit. Also cool, lineup for Game Pass. A lot of good stuff coming to Game Pass. This week alone, we got Like a Dragon, Ishin, and F1 Manager 2023.
We got one good game, at least. All right, cool.
Hey, F1 Manager has an audience out there. Apparently, it's not that big of an audience because the devs are downsizing, but...
That's
everybody.
Yeah, it has not been a good year for developers. We'll talk more about that in a little bit, but next week, City Skylines 2 is hitting PC Game Pass.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the console versions have been delayed to next year, so we'll talk about that one again in a few months. And then October 26th, Frog Detective, The Entire Mystery, Minico's Night Market, and Dead Space is hitting EA Play.
Have we figured out if the Dead Space is the remake or not?
Yeah.
I mean,
Oh, yeah. All I heard was, oh,
yeah.
That's all you needed to hear. That's fine. That's good enough.
Yeah, three big games in one day.
I'm happy.
I'm excited for Frog Detective. That looks cute as hell.
I might get that one because I don't think those will be particularly hard 100% or long ones for that matter. It's going to be.
I think they said the games are like an hour and a half, 2 hours each, something like that. And there's three or four of them in there.
Three.
All right.
Yeah, I'll probably get those and play those in a day.
Well, you should, because October 31st, two more games are joining Game Pass with Jusant.
I want that too.
I know you want that one. And Headbangers Rhythm Royale.
That sounds like something you'll like.
It is a pigeon headbanging rhythm game battle royale.
I expected part of that. I did not expect all of that.
Yeah, it kind of surprised you at the all of it.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, rhythm, yeah, you know, headbanging, cool, metal music, awesome, pigeon?
Yeah, what? Battle Royale? What? Yeah, it looks cute. Yeah. It's from Team 17, so I think it'll do pretty good.
I missed the Battle Royale because I was still reeling from the pigeon part. Okay. What the fuck?
Look it up, it looks cute.
I'm gonna have to.
Fucking yeah!
Vertically Impaired coming in with a 67-month resub. Holy shit. Tony, thank you so much for coming by, hanging out. Can't believe we've known each other for that long. Wow.
Can't believe he's wasted that much money.
Well, yeah, but if he's doing it through Amazon Prime, then he gets one free sub a month.
No, I think it's paid subs. I think Tony's actually dropping that $5 a month on us for our top tier content.
I find it questionable to even call it content, let alone
top tier.
It's like mid-tier bullshittery at best.
I mean, if anything, I'll agree with you. It is indeed mid.
Y'all are way too generous, but okay.
Well, I don't want to say the show outright sucks, because we do have our moments.
I guess.
When? Times? Is it on Tuesdays?
Ball Squad is pretty probably. Good.
Yeah, any that, show where that Jacob was only and like I 7 years there, ago, basically.
Yeah, but Aki, you keep popping up on Tuesday shows.
Yeah, like, I've ruined most of the podcast. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
At least he knows. Yeah. Something that does suck is the fact that games have to leave Game Pass, and five games are ducking out of the service with Gunfire Reborn, Kill It With Fire, Signalis, Solasta, Crown of the Magister, and Persona 5 Royal, all leaving Game Pass on October 31st.
The only one I ever tried playing was Kill It With Fire, and I'm not going to lie, I was not impressed with that one. So
I've heard that's a really good game.
I did too, but like you're supposed to like kill the spider, and like I was trying to like pick up objects to kill the spider with, and like the game just wouldn't do anything. I don't know. But
Gunfire was cool. I like that one.
I don't know that one at all.
I remember it's like side-scrolling shooter, kind of roguelike. Let me look it up quick. Gunfire Reap. I know I still have it installed, so it's got to mean something.
Oh, wait. Gunfire Reap. Wait, didn't I review that? That's like the Borderlands.
That's a first person one. All right.
Yeah. That's like the Borderlands.
Why do I have this one installed still?
Dungeon crawler kind of thing. I remember that. That was actually kind of cool.
Haven't confused with another game. What am I thinking of? What the hell? I obviously play too many games.
Oh yeah, no. Like you had to start talking about it for me to remember what the heck it was.
Thimber saying Gunfire Reborn is 3D. Yeah, I'm dumb.
I mean, we know that, but
I am running out of room up top. I can't remember anymore.
You gotta delete some games out of your memory, Joe.
If only I could delete Guitar Hero Live out of my memory.
Not how it works, champ. Not how it works.
Some more news. Pete Hines is retiring from Bethesda after 24 years. He was the head of publishing at the studio, one of the big names that everybody knew at the studio, and a divisive person based on the people commenting on his departure. A mixture of sorrow and joy, it seems.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't read any of the comments about him, so.
Now, just his personality, it seems, was a big dividing factor among people. So, but
I mean, the real question is, does it mean shit's going to be less buggy now?
I doubt it.
No.
I believe I saw something that one of the writers of Starfield left as well. So Bethesda's losing some talent lately. Shinji Mikami leaving a few months ago as well.
It's a shame.
That's a bummer. Another bummer, Second Extinction has hit end of active development. The servers will stay up for now, but come down sometime next year. It never even left early access, and they killed it off.
Yeah, and it's already delisted, so you can't grab it now.
Yep, it was delisted same shocked. Day.
I would say I'm shocked, but I'm not.
Why?
At all. Because isn't that another live service game?
I believe so.
And how many of those have succeeded out of how many have gone the way of the dodo? Exactly.
It's quite a few. I remember at one point I was considering picking it up because it was cheap, but I just never got around to it. Oh, well.
Yeah, take on hordes more games of mutated to play. Dinosaurs with up to two friends. Nope, not anymore.
Oh, I mean, who needs it when we have the great game Exo Primal?
Nope.
Let's keep the bad news going. Phasmophobia's console release has been delayed once again to an undetermined date.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I know some of my friends play it, but I don't know any,
I don't know much about it either, except the fact that people have been excited about it for a while, and delays always suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but delays also then give you more time to play more things, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I always look at delays.
Hopefully the delay is worth it and the game ends up being good. Well, good on console. It's already well acclaimed elsewhere, so.
Yeah.
More bad news. We were talking about layoffs and stuff like that. Friends at Zen Studios have reportedly laid off 32 employees last week.
Oof.
Not sure who all is gone. I know one of the community managers posted on Twitter that they were gone. But it's a shame. It's been a rough year for developers getting shut down and getting downsized, and most of it is through Embracer. It's for the longest time we were talking about who are they going to get next? Who are they going to get next? And now the question is, who are they going to kill next? Sucks.
Yeah, that's the problem with having a big company buy up, 30% of the entire
game. It makes you wonder when the cuts are going to start coming to Activision.
Yeah. Ugh.
Hopefully nothing happens there. Hopefully they keep, on their own trajectory of how they're doing things, and I don't know. Let's stay optimistic about things. But.
Sure, I can be optimistic. That's me, a ball of optimism.
Yeah, I know. You're just a fucking ray of sunshine. Like a Dragon: Gaiden will not feature English voice acting at launch, but will come in a post-launch patch with no date yet.
I would say that bothers me, but that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, most people don't play with the English dub in the Yakuza games because most of them don't have English dubs.
I think only like one of them did. So. And yet, apparently there's been a pretty big uproar because it doesn't have it. And I'm like, I don't understand. And I don't know exactly where that uproar is coming from even, because it's like only one of them had it. Who cares?
Oh, well, last bit of news I have is a bit of good news. Lies of P has hit 1 million units sold.
Awesome.
So good for them. Game is doing well. I wish it was easier.
Yeah. 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 I still haven't beaten the boss that I got stuck at during my review. So, you know, yeah, I agree. Fully. Wholeheartedly. Because, man, that sucks.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the news I have. Aki, what kind of news do you have?
Nothing.
Shocker.
Hey, I'm trying to get you out of here fast, okay? Fuck off.
Jacob, any news on your end?
I didn't either, but you better not be like, ugh, shocker, for me, because I'm doing it for the same reason. Because you're like, ugh, I have a doctor's appointment in the morning, and my health is important.
And Jacob's like, I'm going to show up late anyway.
It was only 2 minutes, you bitch.
Okay, then spend 2 minutes talking about news. What kind of news do you have for the week?
Oh my God, I'm not prepared for it because, like, I legit told you, no, I'm not going to do it. Damn it. All right, hold on. fuck, now I have to, like, panic scroll through Facebook.
Love it.
Lots of memes on my end.
Lots of bullshit here. More bullshit here. Some more bullshit here.
Half of Bandcamp staff got laid off.
Oh, yeah. More. Well, this isn't Embracer. I think this was Epic's doing.
Yeah, that's Epic. But, you know, that's still a thing.
Yeah, that's still a bummer, too.
Okay, that's all I got.
All right, you ready for review?
Oh, wait, no, I don't. So, you know, there is interesting sales totals that came out of September 2023. Someone bought a Wii U.
Yeah, I heard about that.
One brand spanking new Wii U got sold.
I want to know what store still had it in stock.
Yeah, that's what everyone's, like, wondering about, like, whether it was, like, a Walmart that had it or just, like, some random, like, electronics store that just had, like, one left or something.
They bought it from Circuit City.
Yo, you know what? I actually wouldn't be surprised if it was, like, some... honestly, if it was some random shit like Urban Outfitters. Because back when I used to work for them, they actually stocked Xbox Ones and PlayStation 4s through the website and some of the major stores, because like when you were telling me like how much the Amazing Spider-Man 2 video game was for Xbox One, I was just like, oh shit, like I'll go see if Urban Outfitters has anything left, because they've got like, they're still trying to sell like NBA 2K14 like for like $60.
Wow.
Yeah, like at least back when I was working there. And so I was just like, ooh, maybe they'll have it. They didn't, but, you know. But, yeah.
I'm wondering. Oh, well.
Yeah. And, yeah. All right, that's all I got. All right, on to reviews.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is Warhammer 40K Darktide, developed and published by Fat Shark, released October 3rd on Xbox Series X and S for $39.99, previously available on PC, and is available as a part of Xbox Game Pass. In the depths of the hive, the seeds of corruption threaten to turn into an overwhelming tide of darkness. Dark tide, get it? Mysterious and sinister new force is seeking to take control of the entire city. It's up to you and your allies in the Inquisition to root out the enemy before the city succumbs to chaos. Jacob, if your time was any time like mine, you succumbed to chaos.
Yeah, we never we never succeeded at this game, actually. So this Warhammer game has you working for the Imperial, whatever it's called. I don't follow Warhammer. I just play the video games when they come in.
Yeah, because they're fun games. but the lore is, there's so much of it.
Yeah.
I just want to murder things, and their games are very good with murdering monsters.
That's true. So anyway, in this game, you start off as this like convict who gets spared, and you become part of a team, and you can decide in your character customization all sorts of stuff. Like, first off, what kind of player are you going to be? Are you going to be the support? Are you going to be the heavy? Like, are you going to be the guy that moves really fast but doesn't do much damage? Like, it's the standard tropes for this kind of stuff. But just with Warhammer. And so, because I wanted to go around and beat up things and shoot lots of things, I was this, like, hulking brute of a guy.
The Ogryn. Yeah, I went with the same dude.
Yeah.
Bald with a beard. He looks exactly like me.
Yeah, mine's actually not that far off from that standard look, too. But yeah, so you can create your character. You can mess with how they look. You can also give them a backstory. You know, how did they come to serve the Imperium or whatever the heck it's called? The Warhammer, the Hammer of Wars. I don't fucking know. But what? Anyway, so... So you're in your squad, and after beating a tutorial, which surprisingly the game doesn't let, I mean, did you die?
No,
I tried.
Or, no, you no. tried to die?
I tried to die in the tutorial and I couldn't. Hmm. You did?
No.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Like, so I don't know if the tutorial just like lets you live forever, but anyway, so after you do the tutorial, like, the game's just like, all right, well, here we are in the city, and you need to go here and here and here. And granted, the area really isn't that massive, but I kept getting lost trying to figure out where the heck I'm supposed to be going. And there is no map to be like, hey, this is where this is in this junction area. So I just ended up having to, like, look at every single view screen and window and hope for the best. And eventually you get to the mission area, and you could play a bunch of different missions, obviously. Some of them can't be unlocked until you're at a certain level with your character, and also some of the things in the junction too you can't access until your guy's like level like 3 or 4. Anyways, yeah, there's like a variety of missions that you can play, and you can either do a quick start, which throws you into a game with a bunch of other people, or you can just start up one and, you know, either make it public or you can have your friends join in, whichever you want to do.
I would highly, highly recommend that you go into this with a group of friends. Because communication is very important, and you're not always going to get that with a public game.
Yeah, this is very much like that. What was that? What was the Dungeons and Dragons game we reviewed like last year or like this year? Or what the heck was that thing called?
And I don't remember what the D&D all right, one was.
But anyways, it's kind of like that. Like, as Joe was saying, communication is key, and that's where I learned. Like, I learned that back from that Dungeons and Dragons game, which is honestly, it's kind of similar to this. So if like you like that game, you're gonna like this. But yeah, communication is absolutely key. So you can, you know, tell people, hey, I'm getting my ass kicked over here. Hey, I'm wounded. Please come heal me. Like, or don't come heal me. Like, this is. You know, we're currently being overrun. Like, don't come anywhere near us. And if you have it, it's a better experience. If you don't have it, you are pretty much destined to not succeed. And for whatever reason, the other the games that I played, the other people on it never had mics. And so I'm just there, like, babbling to myself and... You know, we're still getting our asses shot up. Yeah. But honestly, like, gameplay was pretty fun.
Visually, the game is jaw-droppingly gorgeous. It is super detailed. Yeah. Everything is crisp. Everything looks fluid. I thought it was a great-looking game.
The different classes also, like, you know, there's a definite, like, you know, like each one of them has like a definite look, which I do appreciate. So it's just like, okay, that's their heavy, that's their, you know, nimble guy, whatever. Like their technomancer or whatever the heck they want to call it. That kind of stuff. Like I, that was one of the things that I like, I appreciated about it. Cause I've played a few of these kind of games where it's just like, that just gets lost in everything. So yeah, but as you were saying, Joe,
I don't know what was I saying. you jumped in while I was mid thought.
I just interrupted.
I'm just broken.
Oh
yeah. I don't know. I mean, the game is a blast though. I played it. I played a few hours with the ID team, and we had mics, and we played on, I believe, normal, and yeah, we made it like 40 minutes into a mission, and we got stomped in a big open like hangar area, and it hurt so much to have gotten so far and to have died. And I wish the game, I don't know, I wish it were easier so I could just stomp everything, but I realized a lot of people aren't like me. So
I was gonna say, I mean there are other Warhammer titles like for just going around stomping everybody's ass. This is definitely more so unlike the team combat, you know, I don't want to call it survival horror, because I mean there's not really much of a horror aspect to it in my opinion, but you know, you're doing your damnedest to survive on this one. Like it's hard, but it's a fun game.
Satisfying.
Yeah.
It's also $40. What are your thoughts on the game at $40?
For $40, I mean, yeah, it's worth it, but I'd also want to make sure that you have like a group of friends that like you're willing to, who are willing to play this. You know, I mean, that's one of the benefits of having it on Game Pass too. So, I mean, if somebody doesn't want to spend the $40 immediately, they can at least play it up on there. This is another, like, and I said this back with that Dungeons and Dragons one too. Like, I kind of wish that Xbox would sell multiple keys at once. So, like, you could give, like, so you could, like, buy like
Steam,
one copy
they have
for your
four
friend.
Packs. Yeah.
Right. Like that. You know, and then you just send the other four, like, the other three to your friends. You know, that way you can just all party up and not have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, Xbox does have gifting. So if you're in the same region, you can gift to a friend.
True. But I mean, like, usually that, like, $4 for $100 key thing, usually, yeah, like, that's a, like, that provides a nice discount, though. So yeah,
it'd be nice if they did that. That'd be pretty cool. I think as long as you have the friends to play this and you have the time investment to sit down and play this, I think it's a buy it. I think it's a hell of a time. I'm going to continue playing it. I still have it installed, which in these days when memory is a premium, keeping a 50 some gig game installed is not always the easiest decision, but
yeah.
But yeah, I picked it up. I picked up some cool armor off the store already so that my guy wasn't just in a prison jumpsuit. I look pretty badass, not going to lie. If all else fails, it is on Game Pass, so give it a try at the very minimum.
Yeah, as I was going to say, at the very least, it's a try it, but I'd recommend it, buy it as well.
Cool. All right, next up is Builder Simulator, developed by Live Motion Games, published by Frozenway, released October 9th on Xbox One and PS4 for $24.99. Builder Simulator is the perfect game for those who wanted to build a house from the ground up, one brick at a time. On easy, the game will guide and teach you by showing you full instruction, but on hard, you will get no help. Instead, rely on your builder skills and make everything yourself. Jacob, what did you build in Builder Simulator?
So I tried building a house. I'm in the process of it. But with Builder Simulator, honestly, I was just expecting this to be like the usual, like, crappy simulator game that has absolute, like, dog shit controls and, like, a camera that's absolute ass. Like, so many of the simulator games that I've reviewed here on this show. And I came away from it. I'm sorry, what?
Eurojank.
Yeah. Like
those janky European feeling games. It just, yeah. You know it when you play it.
Yep. But so with Builder Simulator, we are introduced to a little robot guy named Bill Durr. who very much takes some inspiration from Claptrap of Borderlands fame. And he's a sarcastic joke little robot guy that guides you throughout the tutorials. And, you know, the game actually has tutorials that you can access. And not only are there tutorials, but there's like 16 of them, like 12 or 16 of them in the game that you could go through. And if you want to do a piecemeal one at a time, that's great. Or you could just blow through all of them. That works too. But the game actually breaks down the different things that you have to do so that you can build a house within the game. So there's a tutorial just on like how to mix up the cement and how to pour it. And then there's another tutorial like on installing doors and windows. There's another one like on roofs. There's even stuff for interior decorating. So, you know, after you've built the house, you can fill it up with crap. So not only is there that, but there are the game also has like different settings. Like, do you want to do contracts? Do you want to do open world sandbox kind of stuff? And the world is like, the game pretty much just lets you do whatever you want. Like, if you're going to build a thing, the game will walk you through it. Or the game could just, if you just want to be hands off and just build whatever and watch it be an absolute piece of crap, you could do that too. And like the game encourages you to play around and do all sorts of stuff. And yeah, the camera's a little janky. I mean, compared to other simulator games, it's amazing. And this is like the least flawed simulator game of all time. There are still like some little issues with the camera, because like once you install a roof, like you have to put roof tiles or shingles, something up there, and usually getting your paneling on the side of the house along with the roof, you have to install stuff with it, like as I just said with like the tiles and the paneling, and sometimes it gets like difficult to figure out where the heck that like one missing bit that you still have to fit in is. Very much akin to like when you're playing Power Wash Simulator and you're at 99% on the Ferris wheel and you can't figure out where the hell that 1% of dirt is. This game definitely has those kind of moments. But yeah, other than that, like it's a blast. Like it's a simulator game with a personality. And like, it's just, honestly, it's fun. Like, I honestly appreciate this game for being what it is. Like this is honestly like one of the best simulator games I've played this year. During my whole entire time on the show.
That's a long time. You've been here way too long.
I've been here way too damn long, and I've played way too many of these simulator games.
I mean, let's not forget, you were here for Bogue versus Wild.
I was there for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez.
Look it up, kids. That's an old episode. That's a single digit episode.
Yeah, before I was officially on the show.
Before anyone was officially on the show. It was just me, Tim, and
yeah, it was you.
Bogue then. Bogue was still part of the show. Bogue was only on the show for like a month. And he still goes by SML Bogue on Xbox. I love it.
Nice.
But Builder Sim, $24.99. What are your thoughts?
Are you serious? That's it? Wow. Okay. Heck yeah. Especially for that price. Like, not only is it like a it's a good game, but it's a good simulator game too. And especially like compared to all of the other crap sim games that are out there that somehow cost more than this. Yeah, no, absolutely buy this game. Yeah, cool. This one knocks it out of the park.
Cool. All right, next up, Harmony's Odyssey, developed by Mythic Owl, published by We Dig Games, released October 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, and PS5 for $14.99. There's a special bundle on the PlayStation Store that includes the game on PS4, PS5, a PS4 theme, avatars, and a soundtrack for $19.99. Harmony's Odyssey is a 3D fantasy adventure puzzle game set in a mythical dioramas full of riddles, perky creatures, and magic. Embark on a fantastic journey through remote fabled lands tangled by a rowdy cat and bring peace to its inhabitants. Aki, tell us about your time with Harmony's Odyssey.
Okay. In this, you're a little witch and you have more than one wand for some reason. And your cat has gotten a hold of one and has decided to terrorize the entire planet because it's a little asshole, basically. It goes around and it uses the wand's power, which basically its major power is that it can destabilize the ground and allow you to move things on it, which is how you do most of the puzzles in this game, even. And it does that to steal stuff from people because it's mean. And yeah, so you have to go about fixing everything that it's done and trying to keep people from, you know, murdering it because it's a little jerk off and no one likes it. Like one of the first things it does is it finds a party being held by basically a Cerberus person and steals an entire chain of hot dogs that I was cooking. So, like, one of the first things you have to do is save the cat from this three-headed dog guy that it just stole all its food from. And it just gets worse as the game continues, because that cat's a little shit. And you hop around from place to place, trying to keep everyone from killing this evil little cat that is just the worst. And all while also trying to keep people from getting angry at you because you're also using your magic to screw with stuff to protect the cat. And for gameplay, this ends up being a lot of diorama jigsaw puzzles, I guess I would call it. A diorama, a 3D plane, more or less. And it moves stuff around. And you have to reorganize it to actually make this land complete again. So, you know, there might be, oh, here's half a hill on this piece. We need to find the other half of the hill. And so they're next to each other. So it actually creates a proper full hill. You know, we need to complete roads. So the roads are correct and things like that. In order to fix everything that the cat's gone and mucked up because it's evil. And yeah, the game has, like, I don't know, 60-ish levels, I think, in the campaign. Some of them are little tiny videos that just basically show the cat screwing everything up because it's a jerk-off, and you fixing it sometimes. And then lots of levels are the diorama puzzles. Sometimes you also get little, I guess, mini-games. You get actual 2D puzzles that behave just like the diorama ones. You just click pieces to shift them around to create a full picture. Sometimes you have little mini games where you have to find an object and it'll tell you what object you need to find. And either you have to find a number of that same object, or after you find that object, it'll switch to telling you to find a new object, so on and so forth. There are three difficulties on the game. It doesn't really do too much. It just gives you more pieces usually for the puzzles. For all the dioramas and like the 2D pictures, it just increases how many pieces there are. It's the same picture and everything. For some of the mini games, it adds for like when you have to find stuff, it'll make it to where you can only click the wrong thing a certain amount of times before you have to retry it all over again. There's some other mini games that it turns into timed little mini games, but none of it's still particularly all that hard. There are a few levels that if you're playing it on hard, you will likely have to do instead of having your kid do it. Cause some of them, some of them push it really hard. Like one of them you have to cheat in. You actively have to outright just cheat because the in one of them, you play as the girl and she runs around and you have to collect stuff without getting touched by enemies, basically. And after a certain period of time, smaller enemies can touch you. They just beat you up and run off some of the clock. But big enemies will basically still end you with a game over screen. You have to restart. And after you get hit by something small, you have invincibility for a short period of time. And instead of going around the puzzle like you would normally do for literally every other level, instead you have to immediately get hit, run through a big enemy, grab something, run most of the way back, dodge around a big enemy, get hit again, and then run through another big enemy because you have like 20-ish seconds or something like that to finish this entire level in, and it's big, and you literally can't get it unless you do that. And that goes against everything the game has taught you up to that point, and even beyond that point, is the only time where you have to do that in a level. And it's, I don't think too many kids are going to figure that out, because it's like you have to immediately go get hit by somebody, which is counterintuitive, and then run through things in a very specific manner. And I think that's going to be a little too hard for younger kids to fully grasp that concept. Because this game is clearly made for the younger crowd. So that one, and there's a couple others that are just really tight with how quick you have to be if you're playing on hard. If you're playing on easy, I assume it probably isn't timed at all. But there's an achievement for playing it on hard. So about 40, yeah, I was in the 40s, I think, at that point. When I decided, I'll just play these all on hard. This isn't too bad. And then I just replayed the whole thing on hard. So I didn't actually finish it on easy. So I assume they probably just don't have timed parts on those on easy. I didn't go back and replay it on easy because there wasn't a point. But while you're beating,
you seem to enjoy it, given the fact that you played through it twice.
Yeah. I thought it was really fun. Also, along with that, as you beat levels, you get stars. You get one star for beating a level on easy. You get a star for going through like the cutscene things as well. But if you play it on hard, you get 3 stars in the actual playable levels instead. These stars you can use to customize your character a little bit. You can buy different wands as you play through the game, and she'll actually use those wands in the cutscenes and stuff. You can also unlock little puzzles that are in the main room that you can also solve. And if you play those on hard, you also get 3 stars to help you unlock even more of them.
Yay.
Yeah. And then as you play through the game, you also unlock these another set of puzzles that you can do that are challenges, more or less, which are also not particularly hard either. They're just more of the same stuff that you do in the game. Matter of fact, some of them are just levels from the game, even ironically, and you can either play it on hard in the main game or play it in hard there, and it counts for both because it doesn't care. So yeah, there's a whole lot to do in this game. I think it took me 6-ish hours to 100% this game, and I went a little beyond that. I got every achievement, and then I decided to finish the last small handful of things there was to do in the game to actually 100% do everything the game had to do, because I was like, I'm close to having this just all done. I just want to do it all, because I'm so close. And yeah, so, I thought it was real cute. I liked it.
So $15 on it. I'm guessing this is a buy it.
Oh, totally. Just be prepared if you're buying this for your kid. If they want all the achievements, you're probably going to help them in a few levels. But overall, I think they'll still probably be okay through most of the game.
And if you can't do it, hit up Aki. She'll help you get through them.
Oh, yeah. This was real fun. I really like
it. Cool. Next up is Red Raptor Devour.
I'm the baguette man.
Oh my god. All right. Take 2. Next up, Red Raptor, developed by Novax Games and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released October 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $4.99. Blast off for a retro arcade experience in Red Raptor, a vertical shoot 'em up inspired by the genre classics of the 90s. Assume the role of an ace pilot on a mission to intercept an unknown threat that's already eliminated nearly all allied forces. If you hope to survive and bring down the enemy, you'll need to upgrade your ship along the way and push your skills to the limit. Jacob, did you push it to the limit?
I tried, but I didn't get particularly far with that. Pushing it to the limit, that is.
Yeah. How's Red Raptor?
So Red Raptor is a top-down shoot 'em up. You know, it's the standard outer space sci-fi setting that so many shmups do. And yeah, it's just like, oh, well, hey, you're in this ship. We're going to run you through some test stuff, and oh my god, things are being attacked. Like, you better go off and like save the day, Bob. Like, it's a standard plot for it. You know, and the thing is that everything about this is standard, but at the same time, like, I was having a blast with it. It's not nearly as much of a bullet hell as other shmups are. And like, I do appreciate the fact that, you know, it does make clear, like, what are shields, what are weapons. I wish it was a little bit more clear as to like what I'm grabbing. Because sometimes I'd lose the really awesome power up that I had. And like other times I couldn't really understand what it was doing, like, or why, like, I lost power ups. But, so pretty much it's just, yeah, you're shooting through all the levels. There's a boss at the end. If you live, then you go off to the next level. If you don't, then you go back. Like, I mean, you could restart if you wanted to. Your better option is to go to the main menu, because as you're playing this and you destroy enemies, you're collecting coins. And all these coins are used to upgrade your stuff, whether it's health, your weapon, you're upgrading your laser. You can also get a... you can have like four wingmen, which are just these like little pods that float around your ship. They don't really do much damage, but you know, they're helpful, I guess. Not really. and there was a coin thing, but I wasn't exactly sure how that worked, whether it was like permanent or whether it was just for one thing. And so I never ended up wasting, really, because I didn't want to accidentally like waste like 1,000 coins on something if it only works for one game, because I'm not going to lie, I suck. So, you know, those coins are kind of valuable. And another thing I thought was kind of neat is that, like, there's actually you could purchase the ability to skip ahead to level 5 if you so choose. I obviously didn't use it yet, but it will unlock an achievement. And for all the achievement hounds out there, this game has only, like, I think there's like 10 total achievements, and they come pretty quick.
There's 11. I'm looking at the list now.
Okay. And it's just,
there's upgrade. One for beating each level and then yep. Buying upgrades. 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5, and 10. That's it.
Yeah. And there's definitely more than 10 upgrades. So, like, but yeah. So it's a solid shoot 'em up. And especially for $5, like, holy crap, go off and buy it. Like, I had a blast with it. Like, it's not like the most amazing game of all time, but it's solid and it's fun.
Cool.
And it's $5.
Your official verdict.
Yeah, buy it.
Cool. All right, next up, Life of Delta, developed by Arrow Games, published by Daedalic Entertainment, released October 18th on Series X and S and PS5 for $19.99. Embark on a journey through a vast post-apocalyptic environment full of interesting characters and engaging puzzle games in the sci-fi point-and-click adventure game. Aki, tell us about Life of Delta.
Okay, in this, you play as a little service robot in a world where there aren't any people anymore. It's just robots and weird dinosaur creatures, things that both of them act as people. And you are tossed into a vat of acid because you're defunct, and a worker robot saved you, and then was captured by the Popo, who are all very brutal and very mean, and they're the dinosaurs. Everyone else is a robot. So, you know, I'm sure there's probably not a message in that at all. And yeah, so you decide that you're going to go and save him. After all, he saved your life. That's the least you can do is go and save him. And it's just your journey to get from his tiny little shack out in the middle of the desert into the major metropolis city to find him and save him. Throughout the rest of this, it's all point and clicks with some puzzling in it. The first puzzle so far, one of the first two puzzles, because you can do either of these puzzles in whichever order you want, is one of the worst puzzles I've ever seen in the history of my entire life. I tried to work on it for about 4 hours, and I never did figure it out. And eventually I just gave up and skipped it because fuck that one.
I want to know why you waited so long to skip it. Like, I know the option pops up after a few minutes. Were you just like determined to beat this puzzle? Or
yes, I wanted to beat the puzzle. I assumed that after that puzzle, all the rest of the puzzles would be about as hard or slowly ramping up difficulty. So I was like, if I can't solve this, I'm too stupid to play this game. Obviously, there's no way. And no, it is the hardest puzzle in the entire game so far. I'm most of the way through this game now, and nothing has come even remotely close to as hard as that stupid puzzle is. I hate that puzzle so much. You don't understand.
So this game starts with a brick wall.
Yes. And ouch. I think that's where its biggest problem is going to lie, because I'm not going to be shocked if a lot of people are going to be like me. They're going to hit that. They're going to be like, oh, so that's how hard this game is going to be. Fuck this. And then quit.
They did put in the option that you can skip puzzles if you're having a hard time. So the option is there.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's skip puzzles or very specifically just that puzzle. Because no other puzzle, literally no puzzle has even been even remotely as close as difficult as that one. That one was bullshit. I have no idea why they're... And the worst part is, because I went to the Steam page because I was like, I can't solve this. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. Because I even watched people playing it on walkthroughs and stuff. And I'm like, no one is explaining how they're doing this. I don't know what the fuck is going on. And
I saw the puzzle. I watched a few playthroughs as well. I couldn't understand the point of it. I didn't like the way it's laid out and the way the options are and the buttons and the icons and the grid and the like. I didn't understand what the hell you're supposed to do.
Exactly. And it seemed like the devs were like, oh, it's easy to understand. I'm like, yes, I'm sure it's easy to understand for you because
in your head. Yeah,
you made it. You know exactly how to solve it. But for everyone else, either we have similar thought processes as you, or we don't know what the fuck we're doing. Because we haven't explained this fucker to anybody. It's basically a triangle. It's just a triangle, and it has a lot of buttons in it. But on each of the walls of the triangle, like the outside of it, there's four rows going across, like a food pyramid almost. And each side, all three of the sides, have fucking designs on them. So each one of the rows, a design on all the sides. And up in the right-hand corner, there's a design there that you have to match. Except for you click one button, and then it switches to the next design that you have to click a button. And somehow you have to get all three of these things connected together for each design by clicking one button, not three buttons, for three different things. And it makes no sense. And I'm not even explaining it very well because it makes so little sense on how the game functions.
The best recommendation is for people to view a walkthrough of this, skip to about 3 to 5 minutes into the video, and then just be confused.
Yes. Lots of walkthroughs on this show you the first move and then show you the ending move that they made. They don't even show the inside part of it. I've only found one video where they actually did the whole thing and no one explains it. Like, the most I heard anyone talk in any of those videos during this is, oh, it's this one. And they clicked one and then they didn't say anything. And I'm like, okay, it's that. Why is it that one though? Explain. Cause like, yeah. Each one how of the sides.
How are the rest of the puzzles though? We can't just dwell on the one puzzle.
I want to, cause it makes me so angry. the rest of them have been super simple so far. Like, there was a puzzle that I just recently finished because I'm still playing it. I'm most of the way done with it. And so I've been playing it while we've been doing reviews. But there was one where, like, you click a button and it rotates these squares around and you have to get it to where it opens so you can click another square so it'll lower a key into that spot. But there's, like, lines in stuff where if this still exists, it can't move forward and so on and so forth. So you have to figure out the order in which to unlock it to get everything to unlock properly. That's so far been the hardest one outside of that very first stupid one. And it didn't take me any time to solve. It is the rest of these are very simple. And I know that also wasn't particularly well explained, but that's because these puzzles, a lot of them are actually not very easy to explain. there was another one where you had to make sushi and you had a sushi board and you had a menu in front of you that told you, oh, this is set one, this is set two. The person said, I want to set one. Okay, you have to figure out how to make them by looking at the pictures. And there's only like, I don't know, 9 things in total. So it's like very easy just to be like, okay, try a little tiny bit of trial and error. Oh, that looks like that picture. There we go. There's the first one of the 3 that we have to make for this set. All right. It's just that simple. Some of the harder parts are just figuring out how to get around areas. Because even when you're just moving around, not actually doing puzzles, you're still point and clicking around to get through areas. And at a certain point, you are not liked by the cops. So you have to, you know, get out of a cop building. And so if you get seen by the cops, they throw you out. So you have to figure out how to get around them. And that can be kind of confusing sometimes, just because there's a very specific set order that you have to go in, and it's not always exactly obvious, but generally it's not too bad. I really like the graphics on it. It's a nice and cute game. You can interact with most of the people in this, and they have a number of things they'll say to you. A lot of the people that you interact with are actually a required part of the story too, so that's nice as well. And yeah, it's a nice little cute game. Just you know, when you get it, just wait for a little bit at that first puzzle, and when it says skip, just click skip and say the hell with it. Otherwise, the game's great. That one puzzle really sucks and it's stupid.
All right, well, it's a $20 game. What are your thoughts on Life of Delta?
Yeah, it's super easy. All the achievements are just for beating the game. The puzzles are really easy. It's really cute. I like the concept behind it, going to helping somebody who helped you. I really like it. I think it's totally worth the money. Just, you know, realize that very first puzzle is bullshit and skip it.
Sounds good. All right, moving on through the magic of editing. Bree's here on her week off. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing, you know, pretty okay for what I assume is my mindset in a week, but, you know. How's your vacation?
It's going great. I'm doing all of the medieval things. I am such a good time traveler that I have managed to be here and there at the same time.
Proud of you. I am very proud of you. But we have two games that you got to talk about. That's why you're here. First game is Hidden Cats in London, developed by Nuke Art Studio, published by Silesia Games, released October 18th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $2.99, a short and pleasant experience in the form of a hidden object game. Fill the city of London with colors, you spot all the stray cats that wander around. Try the different game modes, find special cats, and unlock bonus levels. Bree, I'm guessing you love this as much as I do, but let's talk about it.
I mean, it's a hidden object game with cats, already full of win for me. Yeah. It also has moving scenery, which was kind of cool. There's two basic modes for the main scene of the game, which is a beautiful scene of London. You've got familiar landmarks, moving vehicles, trains, boats. You've got kooky people to find and other fun things to discover in the art. And once you find all the cats in a section, it like colors in that section. It helps you narrow down your search, but also like overall creates this beautiful picture when you're done. In the normal mode, you get to find 100 cats. They're in the same location. You get limited hints. The advanced mode randomizes 150 cats in different positions. There's 8 special cats, cards to unlock, as well as some kooky humans to find. If you want all of the achievements or trophies, you're going to want to do both versions, the normal and the advanced for that for sure. And the special cats unlock bonus levels and additional hints for you. So like you get to go, there's 6 different bonus levels with like 50 cats to find a piece. You get to go to places like the pub, the palace, on the tube. They're much more compact, but they still have tons of things to find, which is super fun. And similar to some other hidden cat games, there's also a couple of them that you have to actually like click on things to open them to find like a couple of the cats. If you want to complete the whole game, there's over 550 cats to find. So it means a lot of cats to find. Yeah. So with the advanced version, it's randomized. So if you can actually restart the levels and it'll start over and you have the opportunity to do it again, which I did, actually. And I will get to do it yet again, which is great. There's also a dark mode. I actually didn't find it to be that exciting. The light mode really wasn't much of a bother for me. I would say that I have like 2 small knocks, really just 1 small knock. And it's the same thing. It's the same complaint I have with a lot of ports that come over to console. The menu did not have a lot of separation in color or a way to really know easily where I was in the menu. It's real easy if you're scrolling with a mouse and you just go to click on the thing that you want, but there needed to be just a little bit more differentiation between like colors or some sort of cursor or something to show where I was in the menu. Other than that, I had an absolute blast. Delightful finding all the cats. And it's part of a series of games on PC of different locations like Paris and New York. So I'm hoping that we're going to get to see more of this coming over to console soon.
That would definitely be good. Because I really enjoyed this game. The only knocks I really had was I didn't like in the advanced mode how there were cats hidden on the train that moved out of the scene.
Yes, you had to wait for it to come around. Yeah. Well, and there were cars that moved as well. I actually liked that layer to it. In comparison to a more static boats, I didn't mind as much because
they were always there.
Gotcha. The train you had to wait for. The train a little longer. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And you had to wait for it to slow down to really like hone in on like that 1 or 2 cats like peeking upside down from a window.
Like 3 pixels I kinda get of an that. Eye that you're trying to click on.
Yeah. Well, I thought that the zoom was pretty generous for given how large the scene was. So that was pretty good. But yeah, I could see that being frustrating. I just happened to like that level to this particular game. So yeah.
Yeah, other than that, I think it's just a fantastic game. I love that they peppered you with achievements constantly. It wasn't just
very much
complete all the levels. It was every 20 cats or every so many cats, they would throw another achievement at you. And even if it's like a 5 or a 10 pointer, that little bloop that keeps you going, it's addictive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I completed the game really quick.
Yeah, I probably took a little bit longer only because I was, you know, taking lots of notes. But yeah, definitely. And the price is so good.
Oh, it's so expensive. How do people afford games like this? I mean, $3? At least that's what I was told the price was. The game isn't on the store as of us recording this, so it might be more expensive. But I was told it would be $2.99. So for that price, what do you think of Hidden Cats in London?
Absolutely buy it.
I agree. Any other thoughts on it?
I really, really loved that there were like kooky people holding cats like against their will. Like that was probably one of my favorite little graphics. there's just this like one lady with like frazzled hair, and she's holding this cat, and like the legs are just dangling, and she's holding it right under the arms, and the cat is just like, why? I loved finding all that stuff in there. Like, I loved it.
All right, well, you got one other game to talk about, and that is DLC for House Flipper, the Farm DLC, developed by Frozen Way, published by Frozen Way and Playway, released October 16th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. The Cows Go Moo experience fresh farm vibes thanks to the latest addition to the House Flipper family. Let your surroundings be filled with the sounds of life of your animal companions. Build homesteads and look after swine, sheep, chickens, and more. Your very own farming adventure begins now. Bree, tell us about House Flipper Farm DLC.
So, first of all, if you're unfamiliar with House Flipper, it's a house building and renovation simulation game where you buy cheap properties, spruce them up, and flip them for profit. Probably the best chorecore game I have ever played. As the life cycle of the games continue, they've added new features and stories through varying DLC content. We've gotten gardens, pets, and luxury content added. And finally, console gets farms. I've been waiting for this. I actually spent an entire day just playing nothing but this. And I had to stop myself repeatedly to get other things done. And I'm not done playing this by a long shot, but I've completed enough to be able to talk about it confidently today. And I got all the achievements. That was the other important part. I finished the main story missions, but no, this is the sort of game that you can do all the cool content that they provide you as like guidelines, but then it's really all about the creative mode after, where you get to really expand and build your dream houses, and whether or not you want to sell them or just keep them, that's entirely up to you. So this new DLC for Farms is a really good blend of stuff that we saw with Garden and Pets, but it has even more added features. So one of the things, obviously, you get farm animals, you get crops, which run a little bit different from the Garden and Pets, but we kind of already saw how those were going to work in the previous DLC. But the big new one is Architect Mode. So now you can build structures by placing foundations, selecting borders and shapes. I got to build like a greenhouse out of glass. There's like concrete block buildings, so you can build like garages and others. I mean, you can just base your house off of that. Some of it is a little bit limited, but the idea that you can just go out into an empty section of your property and just like build another structure is such a really neat feature to add to this. Like the luxury and pets, we get to see story missions that are voice acted in the beginning. You get like a little story. Our first mission is to clean up the mess while the owners go and find their missing cow, Molly. And then we get to renovate the barn so that doesn't happen again. There's another story with horse lady Sophia. She's finally able to realize her dreams and be the ultimate horse school mistress. The contractors took her money and dipped, and we have to make magic on a low budget, and she's not paying us till we're done. And then we have a forester named Mr. Walden. There's a farm-to-table influencer who wants to make her house look better so that it looks really cool on camera. And then there's a tulip farm with a windmill for a house. And then one of the other stories that I had particular connection to, which is super weird, and I both hated and loved it at the same time, get to turn a barn into a wedding venue. So, and there's some other cool stories in there. Don't want to give them all away, but so there's like, I think there's like 11 or 12 stories total in the new story mode part. And again, that really helps you see all the new features. As you go through the story mode, you pick up the new tools that you get to play with. And then once you're done with those missions, you get to build all your dream stuff. So, and there's even there's a couple different properties actually you can buy that are just blank properties. So there's like a forest one, there's just like some grass, whatever. So you can really like lean into that architect mode and just build whatever creative thing that you want. So let's see.
Makes me wish I were creative.
Yeah, but it gives you the tools for that. So you can, and you don't have to do any of those things. You can just play within the bounds that they give you and just like paint walls, whatever colors you want. There's no rules that say you have to be like great at interior design to just enjoy the game. And you know, chorecore is not for everybody, but there is something about like going in and using the tools and just like seeing this mess or broken house. And like my favorite part is just going into the broken, messy house, cleaning it up, and then seeing my blank canvas, like, I don't even need to do anything. I could just flip the house there. Like, I cleaned it, and it didn't actually take me any real effort, like, cleaning a real house. And there's something so satisfying about that. It's weird.
I just love that chorecore is now a genre.
It is, you know, and it's funny. I thought when I first started seeing these games come out, like, this is not for me. This is dumb. Like, why would I want to mow lawns? And that's actually one of the funny things, because when House Flipper first came out, one of the first things they said was, why can't I mow the lawn? And then when they finally gave us the garden DLC, we get to mow the lawn. And I was like, yes! So excited! I just wanted to mow the lawns in these houses. Oh my gosh.
Life goal.
But no, like, I really thought that these games weren't going to be for me. And I ended up getting to play, like, one or two good ones. And House Flipper was one of them. And I just, like, I'm totally into Torgor now. Like, that's totally my jam. So similar to the Pets DLC, we get to adopt the farm animals. We've got chickens, cows, horses, pigs, sheep, goats, and alpacas. Because why not? Yeah, and you get to gather resources from them. So you get to, like, get wool and eggs and milk that you can sell, and that's a whole, like, commodity thing that you can do. And then you take that money back and, you know, put it in your house. You get to, you know, tend to your horses. You can build you can actually race the horse. You can get, like, you can build a course for your horse, of course. And you can get on the horse and you can ride, and you can actually jump the horse over the course that you build. It's really cool.
Awesome.
I'm not even a horse person. Yeah. The tools. We get new tools. So now you get your shovel is traded in for a pitchfork. You have a hoe for breaking ground on your farm plots. You get an upgrade from the axe to a chainsaw.
Ooh.
You get a drone that takes pictures, sprays fertilizer on your plants. You get a paint spraying gun to do exterior painting on buildings. It is such a life changer. And there's a grappling hook for you to get up and repair roofs, which is a totally new feature as well. You get to repair the roof. There's other new install repair stuff, too. You get to do some plumbing that was different before, like broken pipe bits that you can repair. A little addition to some of the stuff that you get to repair and install. You get new perks on your skill trees related to farming and architect abilities, like speeding up the growth of your crops, increasing the yield. Building speed, cost efficiency, all sorts of stuff like that. So if you have skill points, it's real easy to just, like, build up your skill points and get everything going really quick on there. I went and I built, like, a field of sunflowers, and I waited a couple days while I was, like, tending chickens and trying to figure out how to get an achievement involving chickens. And then I cleaned out my sunflower field, and suddenly I had a bunch of skill points. It was fabulous. You can also assemble prefab buildings like chicken coops. I think my one small knock is I still had a real struggle laying fences. That was a kind of new-ish feature, was like internal fencing for animals that they did in the Pets DLC. And I can tell that it was updated a little for this DLC, but I still struggled with it. Like, I was eventually able to muddle my way through kind of deleting and relaying some of the sections until it worked the way it was supposed to. But for whatever reason, just the fence thing was not as intuitive as I really thought the rest of the tools were. So the other thing I noticed that they added was just, like, some demo missions, like, to show off some of the DLC stuff. So if you don't have the DLC, there might be a farm demo kind of mission waiting for you. All in all, I'm building, like, my dream farm cabin in the woods kind of thing right now, and that's going to take me hours and hours and hours and hours. And I'm not even sure that I chose the right property. I'm still contemplating going back and looking at two others and making a decision before I, like, really commit, because I'm, like, talking about tearing down some walls. I already tore down the wall in one because I'm going to build a library in my dream farm cabin.
Seems like you enjoyed your time with this stuff.
I would say this was an absolutely fabulous addition. I think it cleaned up a couple of things that they had, you know, continued to improve on through the extra DLC as it's kind of gone through its road to get here. But this is a really good, really solid DLC. And it might be the last one that we see. I don't know if there's more DLC planned, because they have a sequel coming, House Flipper 2. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that too. So, but yeah.
Well, like, what's your verdict?
Absolutely worth it. It's a buy it for me. And if they do anything, if you're missing some other of the DLC, like the garden or whatever, there'll probably be a bundle in the future as well. So one way or another, I would say definitely grab it if you're into the series or into the game or into Chorecore. If you haven't played this game at all and you like Chorecore, why? Why aren't you playing this?
Sounds good. All right. Well, Bree, that is it for you. We will let you get back to your vacation. We are going to switch it back to Jacob now to wrap things up with the show. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Medieval life is cool. Yay.
All right, and back to Jacob for one final game to talk about tonight. That is called The Grinch Christmas Adventures, developed by Casual Brothers, published by Outright Games, released October 13th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Have a great Grinchy time trying to steal Christmas in this festive platformer and help the Grinch's small heart grow a few sizes bigger along the way. Please note that we are Outright ambassadors, and this code was provided to us as part of that program. Jacob, tell us about the Grinch Christmas Adventures.
So I'm not going to lie. I was pretty skeptical about this game, based on what Outright had shown us, previously. And all that they had shown us was the platforming stuff. And I was like, I don't know if this is really going to be able to carry a game. Like, yeah, I could have seen it as like maybe like old school, like Xbox Live Arcade, like, you know, oh yeah, go spend your 800 MS points on this, kind of deal. But, so we got the codes last week, and it's more than just a platformer. And the whole thing is centered around the book of, how the Grinch stole Christmas. Now the Grinch is still green. And there's definitely like nudges towards the TV special, but I don't know if like there's some sort of differentiation with rights for how they do it, because they got somebody else reading it as well, instead of Boris Karloff. And it's fine. Like, the guy who reads it, he narrates it as the game's going. Most of it is platforming, you know, getting from one end of the level to the next. But as you're doing this, you also have to walk through the caves, which is where the Grinch lives. And he's got homes built throughout the caves, which is really weird, but it's really just there to break up, the monotony. And in these like levels, there's these different, the game makes it clear they're not enemies. It's just the Grinch doesn't want to be hugged. And so if he gets hugged, you know, like, he loses part of his life, until he passes out from being hugged too much, which sounds really weird when you're saying it. But anyway, so it starts off with gingerbread men. But as you make your way into town, it's the Who's. From Whoville, obviously, who get really excited about being Santa, or not being Santa, but seeing Santa. And so as you progress through the game, you can actually purchase Santa's outfit through all the puzzle pieces that you've been picking up. And the Who's are supposedly going to be less likely to notice you tiptoeing around the house. Now, I'm going to be honest, I don't know how much truth there is to that, because it seemed like they always noticed me as soon as I showed up in the house. But I thought it was an interesting mix of the genres, because like, there's definitely like the, like, you know, you're trying to dodge the Who's inside their house, and there's a definite level of stealth to it, because you have the Grinch hiding under tables or hiding inside the closet. Or under beds and stuff like that. And once they do, like, all of a sudden the Who's just forget that you showed up, and then you can go off and like grab more gifts or the puzzle pieces. And as I said earlier, the puzzle pieces are used to upgrade the Grinch's abilities, but also unlock stuff for later levels. And yeah, it's just, there's like three worlds, or three distinct areas, about like 15 or 16, actually, no, I think it's six levels per thing. So what's that? It's probably like 18 levels. of varying difficulty. At the beginning, it's very easy. And later on, the difficulty ramps up, but I mean, it's standard platforming stuff. You know, dodge the enemy that's flying around in the air, or dodge the one that's running around on the ground. Now, most of the time, you can stomp on them, or like, you know, Mario style, and they'll knock them off. Some of the obstacles cannot be avoided, like giant Christmas balls rolling down a hill, or there's also like swinging Christmas balls that you have to avoid as well.
I gotta throw out a gripe.
Okay.
Because it's a cute game, it's a fun game, but the platforming, the controls feel a bit janky. Like the pause every time you land from a jump before you start moving again is very annoying.
I'm not gonna lie, like, because you had mentioned that to me when we first got the game, because I think you got to play it a little bit before I did. My kids immediately set into this game and like devoured it. And of course, part of it was like, dad'll unlock all this stuff for us, which, yeah, you're right, because I have to review it, but dang it, kids. I did note, like, when I finally got to the game, I noticed what you were talking about, but like, as soon as like I got the game's rhythm, like for the platforming and stuff, I was golden, and like I was just off. Like it never became a big issue for me. Honestly, my thing was the stealth areas, because like there's some where it's like there's three Who's in like a single floor, and they'll just like they'll just swarm you immediately. And it's just, I mean, it's definitely not the worst, but like for the all right, I have a weird idea with this game, and I'm gonna try to explain it. So I think Outright knew who the target audience was going to be for this game, but at the same time, I feel like some of the gameplay is a little bit too difficult for that target audience, and I could see this being a game that the kids are given around Christmas time, and the little kids are playing it, but there's a part that they can't get to, and so they're going to call in like one of their siblings to play it, and like it's going to be end up being like a lot of like siblings playing together with this game. And one of the cool things is that you can have somebody play as Max, the Grinch's dog in there. And the nice thing about Max is that Max can collect all of like the presents and puzzle pieces and stuff like that, but Max cannot be hurt by the enemies. And so you get the older, you know, you get the more experienced sibling playing as the Grinch. You have the little kid playing as Max and like pretending that they're helping out, while, you know, you're running around as the Grinch and actually taking care of all the business. And I don't know, like, I think it like ends up becoming like a nice little family moment, like, especially like with teamwork and stuff like that. I could definitely like see some kids out there having fond Christmas memories of like, oh yeah, remember that Grinch game? Like, was it the great? No, but I have these memories of like playing it at Christmas time, you know, like, you know, we'd switch off and blah, 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 blah. I could see this being one of those types of games. But yeah, like I liked it. And honestly, my biggest gripe about this game is the writing. They tried to do like a rhyming scheme, AKA they tried to write like Dr. Seuss, to explain like the directions and stuff like that. And it's just, as an English major, I sat there just being like, this is horrendous. Like, because like,
but is it actually properly written like the old books, or
no? No, because that's the thing. They rhyme like Seuss, but the thing is that there's a nuance to like how Seuss wrote. Like, it was the word choices, it was the humor that was in it, and it wasn't just
writing, rhyming.
Yeah, it wasn't just rhyming, and it's just and I think my favorite part about it is that you could tell like by the third world the writer had just given up. And it's just like, yeah, this is the direction you're supposed to go in. So go. Like, wow. It's like that kind of sad. Writing. No, I mean, I get it. I mean, I wouldn't. Here's the thing. I wouldn't want to be tasked with that as like some copywriter. I wouldn't, because you have to then emulate somebody's style. And yeah. Whoever okayed it was just like, yeah, all right, good enough. But like, I would have been sweating bullets. Hey, by the way, write a game manual in the like Dr. Seuss would. what?
I will also say I wish you could skip the text instead of just speeding it up.
Oh, my kids like doing that. So, yeah, like I had to like tell. Like,
it's cute the first few times that you're talking in, but after like 10 levels, please just let me skip it.
So how easy is this to 100%?
I only have one achievement left.
So it's really easy if you can do it. Okay, cool.
It's fairly easy. The only one that like might give you problems is the one where you have to collect all the puzzle pieces.
Okay. Are they hard to find or something? Or
they can be, but also there's a few
that you got to go back and replay levels.
Yeah, Joe. How would you describe the levels where you're on the snowboard and the sled? What are those called?
Bad,
like the chase sequences.
Yeah, I guess chase sequences, like those are easy to miss because like they'll have a puzzle piece hidden behind somebody's doorstep and you had to have jumped over the doorstep at the right moment and land at the right moment to have collected the piece.
Okay, fair enough.
It's another area where I feel like, you know, this is where the older siblings come in at.
Yeah,
so
okay.
But yeah, like honestly, yeah, it like I was surprised, like it's a good game. I was surprised.
No, so. It's $39.99. What is your verdict on this one?
It's not the best kids game that's out there, but it's surprisingly solid for what it is. With the target audience and with the amount of time that my kids have still continued to play this game. I'd say $40 is worth it. That's coming from a parent's perspective. Yeah,
I'm gonna lean on the side of a try. I think there's just a few too many minor issues that hold it back from a full-on buy it. There are better outright games. I think the Paw Patrol game, Paw Patrol World, I think is an overall more solid title. If you're only able to pick up one outright game this year, I would probably go with Paw Patrol, but this one's not that bad. I'd give it a try. It's cute. It's fun. It's not perfect. So,
yeah. And also I'd like to say my kid, my youngest kid is 6 years old and is still playing the heck out of this game. So if you've got kids that are like between like 3 to 8, you know, this is a solid game for that age range.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Thank you to the both of you for being here, hanging out the whole show. Shout out to Bree for coming on, doing her things really quick in the middle there. Music. Do I play something Christmassy for the Grinch or something Halloweeny for Halloweeny?
Halloweeny, because we are already probably getting Christmas stuff already on the radio. We can stick with Halloween on the show at least.
That's right, fair. So here's some more one-ups from their songs from the recently deceased album. I don't know which song. I'll pick one. But does anyone have any final words to end the show?
No, just end it. You have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Go.
Okay, bye.